Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Now, this chapter is all about the splendor of Solomon's kingdom. He had not only entered into the peace that David his father had fought hard to win, but now he began to build up the kingdom and to actually enjoy and spread that peace to people around him. And that includes people outside of his kingdom who heard about his name and fame from far and wide. The beginning of this chapter has to do with the Queen of Sheba. And here we get an eyewitness account from somebody who's outside of the kingdom, like us, who comes into it, and we get to hear her reaction. We see the Queen of Sheba, who comes from the east. She brings camels laden with spices and gold and precious stones. She has heard of Solomon. And Solomon, because Israel by this time was a merchant kingdom who was trading with all the other nations because it was so rich, brings her there to interact with him as an important guest. But she also comes seeking his wisdom, not just his wealth. He could understand everything about trade, nature, politics, and all other mysteries, we're told. So he was sought out by rulers as a wise counselor. And she was not alone, for verses 22 to 24 tell us, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all other kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put into his heart. Year after year, everyone who came brought a gift, articles of silver, gold, and robes, weapons, and spices, and horses, and mules. When the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Solomon, as well as the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending of servants in their robes, the cupbearers in their robes, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe what they said until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. For you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God who has delighted in you and placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God. Because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever, he has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness." You know, sometimes I read this passage and I see where she says, "The half of it were not told me. I mean, I heard about you, but now I've seen with my own eyes and I truly know how amazing you are." And I felt that about Jesus. You know, I heard about him. Others talked to me about him, but it wasn't until I came to him on my own, like the Queen of Sheba, and witnessed him and saw him. And I never knew the half of it. In fact, believers, for all eternity, we will unpack exactly who Jesus is, and we will still never, ever fathom the depths of his incredible love, that love that the Queen of Sheba talks about that God has for Israel, that he has for you and I, just when we start to understand how deep and wide and high that love, we will realize in all eternity that it's without measure. And there's just no way to measure the immeasurable, even though we have all eternity to do it. Well, the Queen of Sheba pelts him with questions. She receives wise answers that floored her. And after the summary of Solomon's reign, that we're told lasts 40 years, we're told to read much more about it in these other manuscripts, but of course we don't have them. But you do have 1 and 2 Kings. But we're also told in this verse that he died, and his son Rehoboam succeeded him. So the second part of the chapter picks up with his son a little bit, Rehoboam. And unfortunately, despite all the glitz and glamour in the kingdom, all was not well beneath the surface. Beneath the surface, as his son would soon find out, were the seeds of rebellion, waiting to spring up when Solomon was dead. Solomon had wisdom that helped him build an empire on the backs of people who were conscripted to hard labor in the quarries, the mines, and on vast and multiple construction sites. But his son, Rehoboam, did not possess that wisdom to rule such an empire. Chronicles leaves off telling us Solomon's multiple sins. And that's because Chronicles is not focusing in like 1 and 2 Kings on the kings themselves. No, Chronicles is telling a complete story of God's plan. And this was not the end. We'll see the slide and decline of the nation, make no mistake, and we already know that the beginning of the end happened here. But God is going to continue to tell the story of his people and the covenant that he made with them, the covenant of faith. What about you and I? Is there something brewing under the surface? Perhaps a little rebellion? Maybe like the Queen of Sheba who comes and brags about you. Everyone around you sees a little something different in you. Maybe they brag about you. Maybe they talk about your glory and what a good Christian you are. And they see the good in you. But you know the truth, that under the surface, there's a little rebellion churning. Well, if that's you, you're not alone. In fact, you're just honest. That's under the surface in each and every one of us. And that's why Paul says in Galatians, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sin nature." You see, your old nature, the sinful one, still has desires, and it's still there. But the difference since you came to Christ is that you have a new nature as well. It's not completely replaced your old nature. It's still there, but it's not the nature that's alive anymore. The old man is dead. The old nature is there, but it can't control you anymore. Now, it's there like a dead weight, so you'll feel it pulling on you sometimes, but you'll also feel the Spirit which lives in you, which has animated your spirit, making you the gatekeeper that doesn't just yield to your passions. You'll feel the Spirit asking you to lift that dead weight. Build stronger muscles because of it. Don't be discouraged that you still have a traitor in your midst. He or she won't be there long. You're just experiencing what every Christian does on the road to heaven. And you'll have to fight against that dead weight pulling you down, asking you to rebel against the Spirit. And when you do, my friend, you've surpassed the wisdom of Solomon and gone straight to the wisdom of God. That's why we're told every day to not only resist temptation, but we're told to pray, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." That prayer to lead me not means, God, help me desire different things, because I've got these old desires in me and I don't want to give in to them. So that means, my friends, that when you're trying to diet and you're walking past the donut store, you cross the street, you get on the other side of the road. Lead me not into temptation is something that you have to do as well as being the gatekeeper. Sometimes you have those desires. So your prayer is, Lord, change my desires. But when those desires are there, not only lead me not into temptation, but when the wrong desires are there, deliver me from evil. Well, read 2 Chronicles chapter 9 today. And as you do, look out for whatever's brewing under the surface and take it to Jesus.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.